Welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia.
And welcome to Knowing the Economy of God with Tom Meglia. Tom is a life underwriter, a chartered financial consultant. He's a registered investment advisor with over 28 years of financial coaching and counseling experience in the areas of personal financial planning, estate planning, business consulting. He's got a new book coming out that you are absolutely going to love, Knowing the Economy of God. Look for it online, theeconomyofgod.com. Love to hear from you, 800-386-3700. Right now, he's our financial planner with a face for radio. Tom, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fantastic.
What's up?
Just enjoying the springtime.
I know. Isn't it nice?
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, rain or shine, it's spring in Southern California. Let's embrace it.
Yes. My wife wanted to tell everybody something I forgot to tell you last time.
Oh, let's hear it.
On the website, people can hear past radio programs by clicking on like this headphone thing.
Yes.
What do you call that? Like a
podcasting. Podcasting.
Okay. Is that a vegetable? Okay.
No. All right. But well, do go online to hear. You can get caught up on where we're at right now.
What's the website address?
It's theeconomyofgod.com.
Uh-huh.
There
okay.
we go.
I promised Julie I would mention
yes.
all this. Okay. So we're ready.
A lot of people working hard behind the scenes to make sure that you're right here with us at Knowing the Economy of God.
I know. And you know what? I'm not a computer guy, but I do see this thing, this symbol thing where you click on for past programs.
Yeah.
In case you want to hear some of the previous programs on different subjects and mm-hmm. so on. So anyway, I promised my wife I'd let you know that. So I have to do what she tells me.
Point and click. It's that simple.
Oh, really? Okay. Point and click. I'll remember that. Okay, Reba, listen, let's start the program. Why don't you read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? Because we want everyone to know what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says.
Really puts us in the mood. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Isn't that a great verse?
It is.
I love that. And the reason we use that verse is because it leads us into God's economy and what God's economy is. And first of all, to even know God's economy, we have to believe that the Bible is the inerrant word of God in the first place.
First place to start.
Okay, that's where we begin. That's the beginning of the beginning, because we want people to know that the scripture in Timothy says this is great stuff for rebuking, training, correcting, teaching, for every good work, for the men and women of God, for every good work.
That scripture kind of prepares our soil, the soil in our heart, getting
right.
it ready so we can hear the word.
Exactly, Reba. It's really a fantastic way
is.
To begin. And really, in God's economy, as you know, we've talked about this before, God's economy, for those that haven't heard the program before, and sometimes I get calls from people saying that's the first time I've heard the program, and they like Reba and don't like me. But no, just kidding. Just kidding. Anyway, so God's economy is the Bible. But you have to believe the Bible's true, or you're not going to accept what God's economy is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 going before we talk about what God's economy is. And God's economy is the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation, all 66 books. And what I did in my book coming out in May by snail mail. Anyway, it is on the way, Reba. So it's coming out in May, and it's about God's Word and about what God teaches, what God thinks about finances, about money, about a whole bunch of things, so that we all can know what His economy is, how it works, and how we can apply it to our normal and everyday lives. And it's based on four anchors, Reba. So what are the anchors?
Well, the first anchor is probably the one that most people struggle with the most, and that is that God is the owner of everything.
Ah, yes, He is. He is the one and only owner.
Mm-hmm.
Not God and Tom, or Tom 12%, God 88%, or God some, Tom some,
uh-huh.
depending on what day. No. God is the one and only owner
only.
Of everything we have and everything we are.
Wow. Even if I pick it out, He still owns it?
He's the owner.
Isn't that something?
And we may think in our minds that we're really the owner. It says so on my real estate deed or
mm-hmm.
whatever. Wrong. In God's economy, He is the owner. And the anchor number two that it leads to is that we are the servant steward
Stewards.
Or manager of what
mm-hmm.
belongs to God for His glory, His good. Not for our egos or our security you know, our money and our talents are not our security.
There's a lot of responsibility in middle management.
Oh, yeah.
But there's not ownership.
Exactly. Yeah. Manager is different than owner. Mm-hmm. Manager, like an apartment building, you manage the building for someone else who actually is the owner. You oversee it. And that's what it means. And the third anchor, of course, is to be a good steward. We must be a cheerful and liberal giver. Have to be a giver. Of what, Reba?
Of everything. Of our time, of our smiles, of our money, of our friendship, kindness.
Gifts. Talents.
Yes.
Abilities. Our heart. Resources. Anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
We must be a cheerful and liberal giver. Because that's what God is. And we can't be God's little economic helper if we're not thinking like he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth anchor is contentment.
Which people with seemingly all the riches of the world still struggle to get.
Well, sure. And a lot of times people call me up through Crown Ministries because I'm a referral coach for Crown.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the problems I see with people that get referred to me are lack of contentment, or they weren't content in something, so they went out ahead of God and then asked God to clean up their mess later, like credit cards and too much spending. So those are the four anchors. And every recipe that we talk about, Reba, to discuss each economic principle goes like this. We cite the scripture. We state the economic principle from that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
We explain how do you apply this to your normal and everyday life. And then fourth, part of the recipe, the prayer of change. And the prayer of change, of course, asking God through his wisdom and strength, not ours, to change us, to abide in him.
Have a willingness.
A willingness. Mm-hmm. And that sets us up now, Reba, for today's scripture. So if you would lead us by citing the scriptures for today's lessons. We're still in the book of Job. This is week 3 on the book of Job.
Wow, these scriptures are just, there's so much in here. You could spend months. I mean, it's just incredible.
We're on week 3. So.
Week 3, I know. Yeah. Job 1:21, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised.
Mm.
And Job 2:9-10, his wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you're talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?
Hmm.
In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
Exactly. Those are our lead scriptures so that we can then discuss what are the economic principles from those scriptures. Then we'll discuss how do you live this in your normal and everyday life.
It seems like so many people have had a Job experience.
Oh, yeah.
Don't we all feel that way?
Well, you should.
That everything we had was just taken from us, or in one area we lost everything.
Absolutely, Reba. In fact, if you haven't had a Job experience, you will.
Mm.
Why? Because sooner or later, something is going to happen. I'll die. My wife will die. One of us. Something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't live forever on this earth, and we're not reincarnated into leaves or animals or insects and some of these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So we have these absolutes that we build all of this around in God's economy. Sooner or later, something's going to happen. I meet these people, Reba. I meet these people every day in my job. People call me and say, Tom, my husband ran off with someone else. I don't really understand our finances. He did it all. What do you want me to do? What do you think I should do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling awful. We were married this length of time, and so on and so on.
And above and beyond just getting stuff, you want to help people and show them really through scripture what God has for them through this stuff.
Exactly. Oh, definitely, Reuben. Not only financially. Of course, your financial plan and estate plan or business plan included have to be set up in God's way, God's systems. But also your personal life, too. These are real life things that are happening. They're not in a fairy tale. Job existed. I mean, Reba, a book in the Bible was named after Job.
Mm.
That's heavy.
Yeah, it is.
A book. There's only 66 of them.
Yeah.
And one of them was named after this guy.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
It is. It is.
It's heavy. I mean, we've talked about Ruth, Nehemiah, and so on. And now we're in Job.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean,
what's amazing to me is that he didn't sin in all of it.
Right.
And how quick we are to turn to sin to alleviate our pain. When we go through pain, a lot of people will turn to something that they know in their heart is sin
exactly.
to try to alleviate their pain. And God said Job didn't do that.
Right.
He dealt with the pain. He sat there like a real human being.
Oh, he did.
And felt the pain.
Felt the pain.
And did not sin.
And did not sin. And he said, may the name of the Lord be praised. And we're coming up to a break, but as we go into this break, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And this was after he lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his kids, assets, his health.
And he had a lot to lose.
He had a lot. He was the richest and most righteous man in all the kingdom. So he was number one. Everyone knew of him.
His servants.
Oh, his children, his homes, assets, cattle. They were plundered. Satan was loose.
You know how when we take a loss and all of a sudden, you know, we get so stressed out.
Yep.
And we make it worse on ourselves. He lost everything. That's like the ultimate stress. Well, we're going to continue in just a few minutes. You're listening to Knowing the Economy of God. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call or visit us online. We can be reached at 800-386-3700, or you can visit theeconomyofgod.com. We'll be right back.
Tom will be right back with more insights into knowing the economy of God.
Hi, this is Dave Dino. There's an old saying, fail to plan, plan to fail. Do you know that most people fail to reach their financial goals simply because they never made them? Or they don't have a solid plan? Now, why is that? Well, because very few people really know how to. You see, most of us get our advice from a friend or a family member or maybe a coworker at the office. We have no formal plan or map to guide us along the way to our financial dreams. We usually have no one to coach us or give us solid advice because most of us don't know where to find a qualified financial advisor that respects our Christian beliefs, one who honors the Bible, takes financial advice and counsel directly from Scripture, and then applies it to our personal financial situation. Well, for over 28 years, Tom Meglia has been helping Christians formulate solid financial plans that work towards achieving their financial goals. Whether you're just getting started or concerned about your current plan, call Tom at 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700. Tom Meglia, financial coach and planner, to honor God by being a good steward along with reaching your financial goals. Now that's a solid financial plan. Again, call 800-386-3700. That phone number to call is 800-386-3700. Or log on to Tom's website at theeconomyofgod.com. That's theeconomyofgod.com. Or, if you'd like more information about how you can have Tom come and share Knowing the Economy of God with your group, your Sunday school class, or hosting a workshop at your church, call 800-386-3700. That's Tom Meglia at 800-386-3700. 800-386-3700. Call him.
Now back to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner and coach Tom Meglia.
And we're back. Reba Tony here introducing our financial planner, Tom Meglia. We'd love to hear from you. You can call 800-386-3700 or definitely visit online, theeconomyofgod.com. You can listen to past shows. You can also keep an eye on Tom's new book called Knowing the Economy of God. Tom, we're back.
Good. What's up?
Hey.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about Job 1, 21,
oh, yeah. Right.
And 2, 9, and 10. And we're just about to get into the juicy part.
Yes, juicy.
The steak. Economic principles.
Ah, the porterhouse steak. Yes.
Yes.
I'm ready for it.
Yeah, let's hear some of those principles.
Too many things relate to food, so I'll... off the steak. I've got a dozen economic principles for you, Reba, that I have pulled from those two major verses.
Wow.
And some things that have been around those two verses in the book of Job for this week. Now, number one, the first concept is in life, we sometimes experience not just loss, but great loss.
Hmm.
Okay, some people out there might say, when you said many people have had a Job experience, there's different levels of the Job experience, Reba. Some people have lost little things,
mm-hmm.
like let's say a car or a job they wanted to get, but they didn't land the job, or
yeah.
or maybe they had it for a while and then lost it again.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have lost spouses, children, There's different levels.
Right.
And to one,
right.
to what is a big loss to one person may not seem like a big loss to someone else. So in someone's own mind, they may feel like that was a great loss. A pet, it could be they lost the use of a limb. Mm-hmm. So it could be different things for different
mm-hmm.
people.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in life, we do experience great losses.
Great loss.
Number two, like Job, we still must praise Jesus Christ, even in the great loss. We are ordered or commanded to praise God anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what God's telling us to do.
And you don't praise him for the loss, but you praise him in the loss.
Despite the loss.
Despite the loss.
Despite the loss,
that's
we
good.
Still love and praise God.
I think a lot of people needed to hear that.
And that will defeat Satan's objectives of bringing us down, like he's trying to bring down Job in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Satan was trying to do. He was trying to say, oh, anyone can love you, God, while they're doing great, they're rich, everything's going great. Take all that away, he'll curse you, he'll hate you, God. That's how this whole chapter and book began in Job 1. On earth, number three, on earth for the believer, this is the worst it can get. For a believer, no matter how bad things get, it's the worst it can get. For the non-believer, no matter how good things get on earth for the non-believer, it's the best it can get.
Oh, that's
when
wow.
when we die,
mm-hmm.
for the believer, then it's the best it can get for the believer when they die. Even though they've had it lousy on earth, that's temporary, and then it's the best it can get. For the unbeliever, it's the worst it can get. Because they're not going to heaven.
So like when you see someone that's like, why does the wicked prosper? Well, because that's as good as it's ever going to get.
Yes.
Why do the good suffer? Well, that's as bad as it's ever going to get.
Exactly. For the Christian, that's the worst as it can be
mm-hmm.
is on earth. When they die, it all reverses. Now the Christian says, this is the best it can get. But the unbeliever, that's the worst it can get. Because they're not going to heaven. They're going to hell.
Mm.
And number four, God as the owner has the right to give and take away. He's the owner. That's why this falls under anchor number one. And as you perfectly put last week, it also falls under anchor number four, contentment.
Mm.
How do you be content? How does Job be content during his huge losses? So it falls under anchor one. God is the owner. Therefore, he has the right to give and take away. He's the owner.
He's the owner.
The owner has the right.
We always joke around and say, if a friend's like applying for a job, we say, well, you should apply for founder.
Right.
Because
yeah,
you
right.
can't.
Right.
You can't apply for founder, and you can't become the creator of all this and the owner of it.
Exactly. That's not something you can be.
Right.
And so that's really interesting. That's why it falls under anchor one.
Mm.
We as Christians are to be broken and humble from these matters. Psalm 51:17, thou delights in a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. It's one of my favorite verses. God wants us to be broken and humble. That's his goal for us. It's not to be high and mighty.
Mm.
Jesus said, I am gentle and humble. And we are to become in the image of Christ. Sixth, we must persevere and not give up hope. God is our hope. That's important because it's so easy to quit.
It is.
And give up. God doesn't want us to be a quitter.
And sometimes it feels like there's a great force telling you that if you just quit, things will be better. If you are hopeless, mm-hmm. then there's comfort in that. And that's wrong.
Oh, sure. Absolutely, Reba. That's correct what you say. And we have to remember, number seven, God is sovereign, even in pain or suffering. He's still our Heavenly Father. He has not abandoned us. Even though we think he's abandoned us, we feel like he's abandoned us, and we accuse him of abandoning us, he hasn't abandoned us. Number eight, Job and us must not serve God only out of profit or in prosperous times. We still need to serve God even when the chips are down and things are bad and we're in pain. We're still ordered to serve the Lord. That is our command.
Mm-hmm.
Next, Job didn't curse God, nor should we. Job didn't complain or blame God, although at times he wavered. Neither should we. Job didn't get mad at God and curse him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, later on in the book of Job, he jousted with God and went back and forth like an attorney. And that's really what happened. He was trying to put it in a human's court type mm-hmm. of situation. But Job didn't curse God.
He was explain it to me more.
He
right.
wanted
more in-depth explanation.
Exactly, Reba. And his wife said, curse God and die.
Mm-hmm.
Job did not curse God. He did not commit suicide. Okay? He could have. In fact, when he had all those boils and illnesses that the enemy gave him under God's authority of permission, he wanted to die, but he didn't take his life.
He could have probably died just by giving up hope.
That's right.
He probably wouldn't have even had to try to die. He could have just given up hope and probably died with everything that was on him.
Exactly, Reuben. Mm. That's correct also. So his net worth was destroyed, but not his salvation. And he didn't sin. He didn't do what his wife advised, curse God and die. What she meant is curse God and commit suicide. Mm. That's not what he was going to do. He did want to die because he was in pain physically and emotionally and every other which way.
Mm-hmm.
He actually asked God if God wanted to take me home, go ahead. But he wouldn't do it on his own. He still knew God was in control.
The owner even of his own life.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Read the book. You'll find out. Absolutely. So, you know, there's gain, too, from this. And that's another economic principle, the 12th one, Reba. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the first 13 verses, it talks about why we suffer, Reba. How with the comfort God gave us, we in turn comfort the next guy or the next gal. So if you read 2 Corinthians 1, the first 13 verses, it talks about the reasons for suffering.
Hmm.
So in our comfort that God gave us, in our suffering, Corinthians says, we in turn comfort others in their suffering.
The two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor.
Exactly. Hmm. So those are the 12 economic principles I see.
Wow.
And Romans 8:28, we know it says, it's an encouraging verse. Okay, it talks about if you love God, called according to his purpose, he'll work it all out for your good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we roll over to the application, Reba, I know I'm kind of running a little bit late on the time, but I'll just run a few by and we'll do more next time. We mustn't have the why me syndrome. We must not say, oh, Reba, why me?
Mm-hmm.
How come always me?
Mm-hmm.
The pity.
Like there's 50 million people in the stock market. You lost it all and you're why me?
Right.
It's like it was a lot of people.
The focus on me.
Uh-huh.
Why me?
Uh-huh.
Why always me? Pity me. God's trying to teach us things through these situations. We must be teachable in real life, Reba. We must be. We also must praise God in bad times, even in suffering. And we must accept God's will, his plan, and know that he is sovereign. Or would you rather us be sovereign?
No.
I wouldn't want me to be sovereign over anything.
I wouldn't mind if we were, but I have yet to meet that person.
Exactly. I know. Don't deny the pain. We have to feel it and recognize it. No suicide, no denial.
Mm.
And we talk and pray with our wise friends who are godly people. These are just some of the application for normal living things that we need to do. We also need not to box with God and get into a fight with him. You're this and that. You don't care about me. No. Job really was plastered at the end when God's like, did you create all this? And God just blew him away with all kinds of stuff.
He did.
So we don't want to get to that point, Reba. So that's kind of some of the things. But I think that we need to make sure that the choices we make during the suffering, that we recognize that those will in turn lead us down the road for other things. Like if you commit suicide, then you can't experience his blessing.
Wow.
Because you're gone.
And it all starts with the prayer of change.
The prayer of change. Absolutely, Reba. And that's why I want to say it now.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you change us to be more in the image of you, that we learn from the book of Job, and that we prepare ahead of time, Lord, before these losses hit, so we'll respond right to them. We can't control, Lord, what happens to us. Only you can. Help us, Lord, to respond in a righteous way to glorify you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And we'd love to hear from you. Call 800-386-3700. You need to talk to Tom about what's going on in your life and your finances. For appointments, again, that number is 800-386-3700. Look for his new book, Knowing the Economy of God, and visit us online, theeconomyofgod.com. See you next week.
Been listening to Knowing the Economy of God with financial planner Tom Meglia. Tom's desire is to teach God's people how to be good stewards, coaching them in the biblical principles of investing. If you would like to contact Tom with a financial question or have Tom speak at your church or group, call 800-386-3700. That's 800-386-3700 or online at theeconomyofgod.com. Join us next week as Tom Meglia continues to share his insights to knowing the economy of God.